Welcome to Ever Beyond. Broadcast through the Wolf Spirit Media Network. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond. Please join us in the chat room at www.wolfspiritradio.com/listen. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio.
Greetings, good afternoon, good evening, good morning to all of you spinning, clinging to the surface of this tenacious little globe here. Spinning, schlepping behind a large transforming star. All very good. Anyway, we're all rolling around in our little ball race, our little bearing, spinning on our gimbals, keeping up the momentum. Keep your Merkabas spinning in opposite direction. You know, I've got these things. I'm sorry, I've got one. Can you hear it?
I can hear it.
You know what it is, don't you?
Those ball bearing toys. That
yeah,
really
fidget
into.
Spinners.
Yeah. Oh gosh.
I know. I think they're brilliant. I tell you what they do. They teach people the prime motive force in this universe. What was that?
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, is she all right? Cat made a very strange noise.
Yes, I heard it. Anyway, it sounded like a child.
Yeah. It's Becky's fur baby. When you move these things, it shows you this thing that is called gyroscopic action.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm.
And around that force is an entire ship is balanced around that force. Did you know that? Mm-hmm. When you have a ship, you know, there's one of these. It's only about like an inch big, or, you know, I don't know how big it is. Somebody in the show might know how big a ship's gyroscope is, but they're not very big. And the whole mm-hmm. ship is balanced on that. And in the same way, we have our chakras, which are spinning wheels, which are really, they're all Merkabas that are counter-rotating, aren't they?
Yeah, it would be better if those, what do you call them, fidgets?
Fidget spinners, yes.
Fidget spinners, if they could be more spherical as opposed to just in one direction. That would be more similar to a chakra spinning.
Yeah, like my vision of it, I know it ends up as a sphere, but it's two interpenetrating tetrahedra.
There you go with the geometry.
Yeah. So two
definitely your field.
Yeah. Do like I did this thing once. We did it years ago. It was a show, Rebecca Jernigan's show, and we did a visualization of trying to get into one of our gardens and to be photographed as orbs. It was a really interesting experiment. She did it for quite a few months on her show years and years and years ago. Long ago, back in the days of 2010 or 2011. And that's where I learned how to make a Merkaba. So anyway.
Very cool.
How are you doing and what
I'm
is
doing
happening?
Wonderful. I'm doing wonderful. It's interesting. I that when you brought up the word orbs, I just had a memory of an encounter I had with orbs about I think it was about 10 years ago now with a group of people. It was kind of my first real not tangible but very like in the moment conscious reality experience of something that was so esoteric and kind of supernatural. Seeing orbs in this forest. It was like a very misty evening. It was kind of like dusk, and I was walking near the property where I was living in a very rural area with about four other people or so. And we all kind of stopped at this particular point in the forest, and we looked forward, and there were these orbs kind of dancing around these trees. And everyone else was pretty joyful, and I was terrified. I was the only terrified person. Even though there wasn't anything negative per se coming from these orbs, but, everyone wanted to go forward, to go closer to them except for me. But I didn't want to be, you know, the girl that gets, you know, the first one murdered in the woods, the one that gets left behind. So I had to go with everyone else.
That's a hard choice, isn't it? Which part of the movie do you take?
Yeah, exactly. But, it ended up being, really interesting. And I forgot most of the memory. So I ended up having a session with, Mary Rodwell. And so we explored that a bit more. But, just reminds me, you know, orbs and Merkabas. It was, yeah, apparently these orbs were our, future selves coming to kind of make this contact with us to let us know, yeah, there's definitely more out there than what we're used to experiencing in this reality. So it was a pretty, pretty cool experience, even though I was afraid.
Oh, bless your heart.
I'm a scaredy cat. I'm such a scaredy cat. I am. Oh, such a scaredy cat. Yeah.
Well, you know, we've been, training ourselves. Well, like I said, in this little exercise, we were actually training ourselves to become orbs. So maybe we should reinstitute that, because that was such fun. Basically, somebody trained their camera. You have to teach your digital camera to see orbs, and it would see more and more. And then you'd see them, and they would have little different colors, and they have different little motifs inside of them when you blew them up.
Yeah, I would think training your camera, are you speaking technically or intentionally train your camera? Because I would think from a photographer's point of view, you would probably want your camera settings to be on a super fast shutter speed and, stopped way down so that it would be able to pick up any kind of super bright light that we couldn't perceive with our eye.
There you go. Now you know how to do it. I think you should experiment. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing.
Yeah. I know.
And maybe during, you know, somebody, because what used to happen, is we'd do the show, and during the break, Rebecca would put on a nice tune, and, we'd go off on it. And, there was one particular one, and I remember it was the Scorpions' Winds of Change. And, we all had quite an amazing experience on it. You know, I time traveled into the future. Let me just put it that way. That was quite interesting. Definitely. All in 3 minutes.
Yeah, sure. Gosh. So I don't know if we talked about, I wanted to talk a little bit about your, I don't know if you have a farm. I know you have chickens out where you are, but, and just for anyone, I know I come on about once a season. Is that right, to your show, to Ever Beyond?
Yes, indeed. This is Cherry. Have I introduced you?
Not yet. We've just
started.
Oh
my God.
Chatting.
We've just been, it's like walking into a conversation, like two people are talking about something else and not including you. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Chelin Tetro, my regular Ayurvedic correspondent. We've been talking about some other things since this afternoon, but as I said, it's quite interesting that you had this orb experience.
Yeah, I haven't had a lot of experiences that were. Most of my experiences are sort of in my kind of lucid dream type state, where you could kind of slough them off as just being, you know, hallucination or a dream or something like that. But this one was very tangible. Plus I was with about four other people, you know, we were all conscious and sober and everything. So, yeah, it was very interesting. But I thought today I would talk about allergies because we just went through springtime here, and I'm sure it was the same for where you are in Scotland. And so many of my patients, you know, they always talk about, oh, my allergies are kicking up, or, you know, they have this sort of deep relationship with allergies. And I thought, gosh, that would be a good subject.
What a great subject, because
what happened to you, JP?
No, not me, but Becky. She's all very sensitive. Just come up to Scotland, you know, and her skin is it looks like it's boiling up.
Oh,
where she's exposed to the sun I'm wondering if it's actually like a solar radiation affliction, because it looks very itchy. It's very sore.
And it's not something like a poison ivy or poison oak or something like that.
No, as she calls it hives.
Oh, hives. Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was also going to say if she does take in a lot of herbal medicine, there's some herbs that create high photosensitivity in people. You know, like one of them is St. John's wort. A lot of people use that medicine, and it can make your skin extremely sensitive to sun. So you just have to be careful about that. And there are a few others, but that's the only one I can think of off the top of my head. But that was something that I was going to bring up about allergies, is that, you know, there's different types of allergies, and there's, you know, different ways that they manifest. Like, some are born with allergies. They come into this world with certain types of allergic responses to certain foods and other substances. Some people develop allergies over time, and then some people will develop allergies when they have a change in climate. So that's what sounds like that's happening for her. There's this change in climate. I don't know if it's been a drastic change or not. You said up north, so I'm assuming somewhere south of you is where she came from. And also, you know, people coming from cities, going to the country, or going, you know, from rural areas to more urban areas, then all of a sudden allergies can kick in. So there's many different ways that allergies can sort of manifest. It's not just being born with something that, you know, your mother was also allergic to. But one thing I was going to ask you, JP, is I know you raise chickens, because I've seen some
pictures. I don't know. I try to keep them in a box, and I'm mostly unsuccessful, because I've got two in the box. I've got two on the box and another under the lorry.
Oh, you try to keep them in the box? You mean in their little house?
In their coop, yes.
Yeah,
so normally, you know, up until a few months ago, I had a coop, and I had three hens and a rooster. Mm-hmm. Then the hens got pregnant. You know what it's like, you know. Well, I don't know if you know what it's like. But anyway, the hens got pregnant, and they all went off to find their little nests to have the babies. And then the babies came back, and, oh, pretty little babies. Oh, they're, you know, not yellow, they're black. And very interesting. And, you know, are they boys? Are they girls? We thought they were girls because they're very drab in color. Turns out this is the drabbest species. Even the males are drab. No color at all. Just gray. No, just gray and black. And, turns out they're two little cocks.
Oh.
Yeah. And then, there was a big kerfuffle a few weeks ago, and I was trying to be protective, and they were all like, get out of here. And I'm like, oh, what's going on? And anyway, so my rooster was being very buoyant. So I thought, right, well, I better cool him down. So I chased him around. He was attacking me. So I chased him around, picked him up by his legs, as I usually do. And then he died.
Oh.
So now I've got two adolescent males, and only one egg-laying female left in the coop. Long story, but that's my chicken story. That's my chicken drama as of June, 25th, 2000.
Well, we develop this relationship with the animals that we care for. So, what I was going to say, I was going to ask if you had any goats, or if you keep bees or anything like that. Because one way that some people can heal their allergies is to take in the gifts of these, of either, you know, the honey of bees, local honey, or even goat's milk. Because what happens is the bees, they add their digestive enzymes to the honey. You know, they take in the pollen, and they, through their magic bellies, they regurgitate this honey, and the honey is a raw live food, which means that when you take it in, you're taking in the pollens that they've digested and broken down, and they've added their own digestive enzymes to that honey, and that helps a person to become less sensitive to the pollens around them in their area. So, you know, just a daily intake of, you know, a teaspoon of honey would be a really great practice for someone with allergies, particularly allergies to, you know, the pollens in their area. But then it's the same with if someone can get a hold of local raw goat or cow's milk. The goats and cows are eating the local grasses and, well, among other things, I know goats eat a lot of different things. So that can really help because they're also, digesting and processing the local grasses in the area. And then if you have taken some of their milk that also has probiotics in it, it will also help you to recover from allergies. So there's so many things that people can do to help, but, you know, I wonder if some of your listeners, you know, if they can relate, like, oh, I've been allergic to this particular food since I was little, or this. You probably have some listeners that are thinking, gosh, I was fine, and I just developed allergies in my 30s or whatever it was after this bout of stress or after I moved somewhere. So that would be interesting to hear back from people kind of what their experience of allergies is. But I just see every season in the spring, it's usually in the springtime. And then once again, sometimes, in my area, there'll be a large group of people that will, come up with allergies again, allergic responses, in the late summer as well. So it's, you know, it's the different tree pollens and the flower pollens and that kind of thing. And everyone's miserable. So I thought I could talk about how to help people with their allergies. I mean, even saying, you know, my allergies is sort of like associating yourself with this immune response that you really don't need to have. Hopefully, you know, we become kind of so connected to our allergies because they happen year after year. Oftentimes, you know, all those allergy medications don't really fully help. So, you know, I could kind of talk about the Ayurvedic perspective of how we view allergies. We can also talk about different practices that people can try to help alleviate allergic responses that they have. Fortunately, I have seen people recover, which is it's really great to see people no longer be connected to their allergies. It's really great. And I even remember, I think I was in my late 20s and I was living in Boston, so one of the major cities here in the U.S. And I would say that I take better care of myself now, you know, on the physical level than I did then. And I remember I did start to develop just the tiniest twinge of seasonal allergies. But then I looked at my daily practices and some of the pillars of health, like proper sleep, proper intake of food, proper management of energy, meaning like how you handle your energetic output, on a day-to-day basis. That all needs to be in balance. And if it's not, then things like allergies and many other imbalances can manifest. So at the time in my 20s, I was, you know, going to bed very late. I worked in the restaurant industry and would often have, my bedtime would be very late. At the time, smoking was allowed inside restaurants, and I worked at one where people would smoke. So a lot of secondhand smoke, that kind of thing. And my diet wasn't as good. Right now it's very conscious. So all those things, you know, was kind of tipping the scale for me. And, so that's kind of a question that people need to start asking themselves, like, what are they willing to change? That's the real C word, change, that people, sometimes get offended by. You have to be willing to, make some changes in your life if you really wish to kind of feel better physically. So, do you have any allergies, JP? Or no?
Work, taxes. Government.
You're allergic to all those things?
All those things. All those things. I come out as, I turn into a terrible person.
Oh, that sounds more healthy. It's like a healthy allergy. That's actually more like a normal immune response.
That's right. I'm responding normally to a toxic situation. And exactly. Actually, that's really where we want to get to understanding. is that sometimes people are not actually allergic to anything, but they're responding normally to a toxic situation.
Exactly. That's one piece of what an allergy could be, particularly if people have food allergies that develop over time. That would lead me to think it's something within the food, particularly if it's, you know, GMO foods, or even non-GMO foods, because it's really hard to create boundaries when you're growing food. You know, one field could be a non-GMO crop and another one could be a GMO crop. Obviously they're going to affect each other. So, yes, one form of allergy is that there's actually, a correct intelligence within the body. And that intelligence of our immune system is called OJAS. Just to put that out there from the Ayurvedic perspective. It's when, our body perceives a substance to be harmful and it actually is. But the true definition of an allergy is when our body perceives a substance, like an antigen, that is not harmful to be harmful. And so then the immune response kicks in. So what we really need to do with most people who have allergies is to actually help their immune system to regain its strength and its intelligence. And there's a few ways that we can do that. I think maybe in a little bit, JP, if you're seeing questions or if I see questions, I can try to answer some, but I just want to give a little bit of background information. Does that sound good? I'll talk a little bit more.
I'm dropping the questions in our chat room here.
Oh, you are? Okay. See if I can bring it up.
You'll see the little chat bubble's got a little red blob on it.
Is that on Skype or should I go to Wolf's?
On Skype.
Okay. There it is. I found it. So basically from the Ayurvedic perspective, and for those of you who don't usually listen in when I'm on once a season, Ayurvedic medicine is a traditional medicine it's mostly from India, and it's a very, very, very ancient medicine, and it's the science of life and longevity, and it really has to do with the person not being separate from nature, that we are just completely a part of nature. We share the same qualities as the natural world, and we use qualities to bring healing to ourselves. So let's say if we in our person, a lot of allergic responses like hives, like what Becky was experiencing with her skin. Hives generally have a very heated type of quality to them. So one way we would work with that heat, that quality of heat within the body, that imbalance of heat, would be to bring in practices, herbal medicines, foods that bring coolness, that help to bring more coolness into the body to create more balance that way. So one other thing that happens when people have allergies, so their immune systems either are overloaded, fatigued, confused, and also another thing that happens is that their digestive system and their digestive fires within their bodies, so the way that they a person will break down and take in nutrients from food, but also through their mental capabilities, if their Agni, their digestive fire, is imbalanced, that's another way that allergies can manifest. So it's kind of like a two-pronged approach when looking at allergies. You want to get your digestion really strong and healthy and balanced. And you also want to take care of your immune system and make sure that it's also cared for and not depleted. So those are kind of the two main ways to take care of allergies.
Another thing, though. and it's a modern condition, modern invention, the memory foam mattress.
Right.
Seems to be creating an overheating situation. It seems to be stimulating that Agni response you were talking about.
Well, I would say that that's
Oh, sorry. Can I just correct? Just throw out here. Sorry to bump in here. Shannon, but it's not agony. We're referring to Agni, the Lord of Fire.
Yeah, it's A-G-N-I, Agni. Yeah.
Agni. Mm-hmm. I am Agni. Yeah. Sorry.
Far with that voice, absolutely. Just came through. Yeah, so I would look at like the memory foam, off-gassing and that kind of thing. That's just simply poison. That's not you having an allergic response. That's you trying to metabolize poisons, and your body is overloaded. So that's not, in my definition, that wouldn't be like a true allergy. A true allergy is when we have an immune response to a substance that our body perceives as harmful, but in reality it is not.
Yeah, yeah. This is what she's saying. Yeah. It's latex.
Yeah, some people are allergic. You're right. Yeah. And so is that, and now I would have to ask the individual, is that your allergy to latex, did that happen over time or did that occur right from the get-go when you were young? So is it coming through your family line or is it that you just have a buildup of low digestive fire or imbalanced digestive fire and low Agni, low Ojas? So there's many questions that I would ask a person if I was working with them to get all the nuances of really what's happening for them with their allergies. Because as you know, some people will have rhinitis or sinusitis. Some people will have, you know, red, dry, itchy eyes. Some people will have hives, you know, skin conditions. Some people will have eczema, which is more, a more complicated type of allergy or, incorrect immune response. So, depending on kind of how it's manifesting for the person, I would work with them slightly differently. But it really, there's so much that a person can do for themselves, to help at least lessen their allergic responses. Now, if someone's allergic to like seafood, you know, I'm sure I would just stick to seafood for now. And they know they have family members older than them that are also allergic. That's going to be more deeply embedded in their, lineage. So that's something that you wouldn't really want to play around with too much. But it's more like the seasonal allergies and the allergies that have kind of crept up over time, that would be good to work with. So I would say too, also there's two qualities. Like I talk a lot on the show about the qualities in Ayurvedic medicine. The 10 pairs of opposites that are recognized in everything, every person, every object, every substance, everything has these 20 qualities, these 10 pairs of opposites. But the key qualities that are involved with allergies are heat or hotness, which I mentioned before, and initially also a kind of dryness. So when I think about a healthy immune system, it's one that has a lot of juiciness to it, that the body's able to kind of expel wastes easily because it has a lot of fluids. The body's able to move fluids out of the body. So if that's lacking, if there's a lack of that fluidic quality, that watery quality, there's more chance of a buildup of improperly digested food and thoughts that get kind of stuck in the body. So kind of heat and dryness tend to kind of be at the forefront, at least initially with allergies. So those are qualities that I would kind of work to try to counterbalance, with a person. You know, now after time, a person's body may actually get more moist, like in the form of mucus. So in terms of sinusitis or something like that with a lot of mucus, in an attempt to balance that dryness, but it's sort of misdirected a little bit. So as you can see, it can get a little bit complex. But we can definitely go back to basics for people. I just wanted to talk a little bit about, maybe just a few herbs that people could think about in the forms of, having like a daily tea, particularly when they're having, high allergic response that could help with them. And they're, most of them are pretty familiar to people, like green tea, is really helpful. It actually helps to, it's a great anti-inflammatory. It helps to move those, the kind of toxic fluids out of the body. It also, just gently suppresses the histamine response. So the allergic response, it gently reduces that. I have a half a cup of, or even more actually, like a cup of green tea, most mornings. Another tea is nettle tea. You must have nettles there. Do you have nettles in Scotland?
Do we have nettles in Scotland? My garden is almost entirely nettle. It was very interesting actually, telling, because we were looking at this thing last night, and you know, I didn't like actually think what would Jelin think, but I took a kind of, I was looking at Becky and I was saying, you know, took a kind of Ayurvedic attitude towards it, and like, that looks like something that is hot, that is bubbling up from the inside. How can we cool this down? So, I first of all, gave her an ice pack from the freezer, which is, you know, for keeping a bottle cold. So did that help? That helped. That was the, you know, that's, and so we've been looking at cooling solutions. So
yeah.
that was my kind of, you know, things have rubbed off. Definitely.
Great. Good. In a kind of intuitive, sense. I would say, think cooling foods. So for a time, stay away from chili peppers and real heating type foods. So, I don't know. I always had a hard time getting the foods I wanted in Scotland when I lived there, but, like cucumbers are great. Cilantro is wonderful. What else would be helpful? So nettle tea would be really helpful as well. So you just make, you have a daily nettle tea. Licorice root tea would also be really nice. That's a little bit cooling and it really helps to, kind of moisten that inflamed tissue. It cools it off, but it also provides kind of a gentle demulcent quality to it. That's really helpful as well. So those three teas are, can be really, really helpful during an allergic response, I would say. I think you had someone in the chat asking about liver, a question about liver. I just wanted to bring that up there. I think I lost it. Let's see. Liver. Well, I think it was someone was asking about an overburdened liver and allergies. And I would say, yes, that definitely can play a large role because the liver, among many things, it's such a powerhouse. It does so many things for our body, but it really does help to metabolize wastes, from our food, out of our foods. And so you want to keep your liver nice and healthy and strong. And there's ways to do that. And one is actually to make sure that you don't eat late at night. And that most of your listeners might go, ooh, you know, have like snacking late at night, having late meals after.
We're looking at each other, rolling our eyes.
I know. I could tell you were eating. I know it's hard for a lot of people's lifestyles, but that is one thing, one lifestyle practice that you can consider that can really help the liver. Because the liver has a daytime job and a nighttime job. And the daytime job is to metabolize foods, you know, part of the digestive process. But the nighttime job of the liver is to help, really help metabolize and get rid of all the metabolic wastes in the body. And so if you eat late at night, the nighttime job of the liver has to be put on hold while it continues to do the daytime jobs. And so you may not have enough hours in the night to do the nighttime liver work. And so if you wake up groggy, if you're consistently waking up groggy during the morning time, that could be partially the reason is because your liver is still trying to do nighttime work and it prefers to be sleepy for that. So that's something for people to consider. But yes, you definitely want to care for your liver. And so eating food early enough, your last meal at 7, by 7 o'clock. And, you know, if you're used to eating at 10, 11 at night, then just notch it back a little bit at a time. To jump from 11 o'clock at night to 7 is not realistic at all. You could just, you know, maybe attempt to do it 3 nights a week instead of eating at 11, 7 nights a week. You'd make little changes over time, and then you'll see a difference. And if you feel better, then you might be inspired to continue with that. And if you don't feel better, then you can just take someone else's advice. That would be fine too. But yeah, overburdened liver, that's very common. And when our liver is overburdened, we often do see signs of heat, excess heat coming out. The liver does hold a lot of heat, emotional heat as well as physical. So that was a helpful question by one of your listeners. I could take some more questions here. I see that in the chat that you listed on Skype here. What about mineral supplements? Can they correct autoimmunity and allergy? So mineral supplements, we work with a few mineral supplements in Ayurvedic medicine, but not a lot. We work a lot with diet, changing someone's diet, because you're nourishing yourself every day with your foods, and that's going to have a huge effect on your body. So we like to say that food is medicine and medicine is food. There is one mineral supplement, I would say mineral herbal formula rather than supplement, called Shilajit, which is mineral pitch. And that can really help rejuvenate and clear the body. So, you know, an Ayurvedic doctor, an Ayurvedic practitioner would work really closely with a person, if they felt that Shilajit would be helpful for them. Really what I would work, if someone had an autoimmune, or even an allergy, but autoimmune is even more complex. That's usually, sometimes that can be coupled with a virus, a viral infection that a person experienced many years ago. And then the virus can kind of lodge itself deep into, you know, all these hidden spaces within the body. And then it appears that the person's immune system is attacking its own tissues. But in fact, I have a feeling that with autoimmune conditions, the person's immune system is actually really still trying to take care of whatever invader is in the body. But because that invader is very sneaky, it will lodge itself so deep into organs and tissues that the immune system will attack its tissues to get to that pathogen. So it can get very, very complicated. But with a person with autoimmune condition, I would certainly look at their lifestyle. And a big factor for autoimmune and even for allergies is not enough rest. Usually the person is burning the candle at both ends or has had quite a few series of traumatic events or just a very, very high stress level in their life. It could be a past traumatic events that they have not had the support to heal from yet. And that keeps your immune system quite low. So I would really work with the patient to help them, just look at their lives in a very gentle way and just see, okay, where can I provide nourishment for myself and where can I provide rest for myself? And working really foundationally that way can make a difference. And then someone else asked, kind of along the same lines, is it possible to reset the immune system to a default position so that one can get rid of allergies? Yeah, I would say rather than default position, although I know what you're saying, I would say back to its initial internal optimal strength, so the OGIS within one's body. You can reset the immune system over time by bringing in, you know, more balanced practices such as better rest and nourishment. There's also a series of therapies, and I've talked with JP about this probably almost in every radio show that I do with him. There's a series of therapies called Pancha Karma. And so Pancha means five and Karma means action. So it's five actions that a person with proper preparation goes through, five therapies that a person goes through to really nurture the person to let go of what's not serving them on a physical level, on a mental, emotional, and spiritual level, and then to help rejuvenate that person. So these are physical therapies that a person will go through. A lot of the therapies work with the digestive and elimination systems. So there's sweating, There's purgation. There's, for the, not for everyone, but for some people, there's therapeutic vomiting, which I know sounds kind of intense, but, if it's done at the appropriate time with the appropriate patient, it can be very helpful. There's also, nausea, which is actually clearing the sinus passages in a very specific way. And then there's also Rakta Moksha, which isn't used very often, but it's a type of bloodletting. It's not practiced in the U.S., and it's probably not practiced in the U.K. People can donate blood to kind of use that therapy, but then you have to think about the ethical question of why would you donate blood that is full of metabolic wastes, you know, so you have to think about that. But there's also a practice called svedna. Oh, I already talked about that. So sweating. And so these therapies, it's sort of like the deepest series of therapeutic treatments that a patient can go through. And they traditionally are very nearby the practitioner, the doctor, the Ayurvedic physician. They'll stay like either in a center or just in a little apartment or somewhere close by where they can stay for a week or two while they receive these therapies so that the patient is looked after actually kind of day and night while they go through these therapies because it's a very big transformative process. But that process can really help people who have allergy and the beginnings of any kind of autoimmune imbalance. So I can just keep going down the list before I go back to my what I was going to talk about before. There's a few more questions here, and I think that would be fine. And then also in the second hour, if I can get, we have another guest who might be coming on. She will probably come on in a few minutes, but her name is Diette, and she's a channeler and a medium. And I worked with her recently, and she actually did a YouTube interview of me recently. And we just had a good rapport between each other. So she may be coming on for the second half. And what she might do is actually either channel her one of her counsels and answer people's questions. I also have questions for her as well. I'm not sure if she can. She's also a medium, spirit medium. So there may be people in your chat who would also want to ask a question about a loved one that's crossed over. But we can see how that goes. But for now, what I'll do is I'll answer a few more questions. And if we have time, I can talk about specific allergic symptoms and how they relate to different qualities. One person's asking, what do you recommend to people with chronic sinusitis? So other than what I just talked about, proper rest and looking at their diet and lifestyle, there are a few practices that may help that person. One is called NETI, which is N-E-T-I. And I'm sure some of your listeners know what that is, but you can look that up, N-E-T-I. And that is a gentle nasal irrigation that you can do with just this like a little porcelain or clay pot that holds warm saline water. And that's a daily practice that you do in the morning before you start your day and before you have your breakfast. So daily NETI practice followed by daily nausea practice, which is just putting a few drops of a specific type of nausea oil in the nasal passages. And so depending on the type of sinusitis that you have, because according to Ayurveda, there are different types, different herbs would be infused into the oil that would help whatever your specific type of sinusitis is. And I just wanted to put out there for people, I should probably type my website, or maybe JP, you can do that. I do online consultations, so if anyone is needing more support, I'd be happy to work with you. And we can talk about that offline if you'd like. So let's look at a few more questions. So there's quite a few questions here. Children eat sand in the playground. This conditions the immune system, it's said. What if we started eating sand? Oh, that's funny. I think that person is just being funny. Well, that's sort of
No, really, because like eating.
I can answer. It is a good point. I wouldn't say sand so much as dirt. Like, there's a lot of probiotics and microbes in the soil. And when we interact with those microbes, they're giving us, they're having a conversation with us. They're giving us information. We're also getting micro doses of things like tetanus that's in the soil, but at a very micro dose, and the body can definitely handle that and recognize that some of the pathogens in the soil are not good for our particular physical bodies, and we can easily fend them off. So yeah, regular play. And plus it's, you know, like things like tetanus and other pathogens that might be in the soil are also mixed with other microbes that also will fend off things like tetanus, like create a balance. So yeah, definitely play in the dirt. Walk on the dirt. I don't know about eating. I don't know if I could eat dirt at this point. But I definitely, yeah, like gardening is wonderful. Playing in the mud with your children, that's great. Absolutely. It definitely provides benefits. You know, a lot of the intuition of children, they're right on. It's very healthy. A lot of things that they lean towards are actually good for them. So we have to kind of allow our children to enjoy things more, particularly if it's nature-based. So, of course, some kids may go after other things in nature that aren't so helpful for them, but, you know, with guidance. Did you have something you wanted to say about that, JP? About the soil? Or are you eating your dinner?
Sorry, I'm being spoken to two things at the same time. So, can you ask me again?
Oh, I just asked if you had anything you wanted to add in about the sand or the soil.
One of the things that we've been learning from all of these sort of nature teachers is that you're always surrounded by what you need.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a garden, the garden is going to provide for you in abundance something that is like, hello, you need this. Some years ago, the ground was overrun by this plant called the ground elder.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the food source for the Roman horses and for their soldiers, the peasants and things like that. And it's a very sturdy, hardy root that you can use like a kind of spinach. It's a bit tougher than spinach, but you can cook it instead of spinach. So there's lots of that in this garden, or there used to be. It's not so much now, but I sometimes put it into a curry or something.
Wonderful,
we got loads of nettles as well, as you say. So nettle soup or nettle tea is probably a very, very good idea. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. And keeping with the season, so if nettle is coming up right now, it's a good time to have nettle. You can dry it and have it later on, but now is the time to really make sure that it's in your daily practices. So like for right now, in my area, red clover is coming up quite a bit. So I just simply add, you know, peppermint and red clover to a tea that I'll have, while it's growing, while it's in season. And that can also help, bring your body kind of back in alignment with what's happening in the present moment in your area. Now I wanted to say, someone in your chat asked a question about more esoteric. And so I'd like to address it for that person. Someone's talking about having an autoimmune disease, and she felt it was related to more of an AI attack as opposed to something on the total physical level. And she's also talking about the attack occurred kind of in a parasitic way, and it was sort of these ports were open, these channels were open within her body because of unresolved trauma. Now, certainly you could look at that on an esoteric level, but I would also say that what would be helpful for that person is to really, really nurture the physical body. Because if your physical body is strong, it's absolutely going to help all of the things happening on the spiritual level or the more of the esoteric planes. So it's kind of like you want to have your physical care in place just as much as anything esoteric that you might need addressed. So there's a specific branch in Ayurveda that does deal with more of entity type attack or imbalances. That isn't so much my field. I focus more on the emotional, mental, physical level, but it certainly exists and it's out there. And I know there are people that work more specifically in that area. So I would say, you know, if you have an autoimmune disease, it's absolutely manifesting on the physical level. So you can approach it from that vein, and that will help you just as much as approaching it from the esoteric level. Because even physical diseases that we experience, eventually the origin comes from a more etheric level. So you can kind of work with both at the same time, and that would be fine. Doesn't have to be one or the other. We do have specific mantra. So when you work with sound, that in itself is more esoteric. So when I work with a patient with mantra, with certain chants, that's going to work on a subtle level as well. So yeah, it can be quite complex for some people, for sure. Let me see if there's any other questions. JP, did Diet connect with you or no on Skype? I don't see her connecting yet.
You want Diet? We're gonna play a tune.
Okay.
And then
I'll see if I can talk to her.
We'll bring her in.
Sounds good. Okay, so for the second half, this is really exciting for me. JP and I are bringing on a new friend of mine, and her name is Diet. And
hello,
I everyone. First, this is Diet, yes. And
hi.
And I actually set up a session with her after viewing her YouTube channel. She's a channeler, and she also is a spirit medium. And so what I'd like to do, Diet, is just ask you a few initial questions, maybe just 5-10 minutes or so about your work. And then what we can do is people in the chat, you would be welcome to ask Diet questions. I believe she's going to channel in, bring in either her counsel or her guide. She can talk about that a little bit. And you'd be welcome to ask some questions. And if there aren't a lot of questions coming in, then I have some questions for her and for the entity that she's bringing in. And JP may have some questions as well. Okay? So that's sort of the layout for the second half. So Diet, I just wanted to know, I'm just curious, when did your channeling ability really begin to manifest?
Yeah, good question. I like the word that you used, manifest, because I feel like a lot of us are empaths, and I was definitely born empathic, very intuitive, but really going full on channeling didn't happen for me until about 3 years ago.
Okay.
And yeah, I left that a lot to healing. And once I cleared that away, I felt like I became more lighter within myself, and I was able to open up so many channels within myself more clearly.
That makes sense. And so about 3 years ago, so in terms of, and I like that you did take some time for yourself to heal. I think that's a really important starting point, before you begin to, serve others. I think that's really important. So it's great to hear that. Can you recall, and it's okay if you can't, but were there any experiences in your childhood, that you can recall that you feel were particularly pertinent to your ability now to channel?
I think the biggest thing is I was able to read people. I was able to read their energy blocks and where they needed to heal. And that would make me very anxious and very depressed. I remember, when I was in church, when I was 3 years old, a man came up to my mom, and I felt really uncomfortable. And I automatically had a thought that he wasn't a good man. And everything was just based on energy and vibration for me and feeling into things.
Yes. Okay. And were you able to talk about that, or did you have to kind of keep it to yourself?
I didn't say much. I think my mom and dad knew I was very, very sensitive, and withdrew because of it a lot, but it just didn't make a lot of sense to them, explaining how I felt toward people. So we just kind of let it go.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I just have a couple more questions, and then if JP has any, he can feel free to ask as well. But, did the experience of, I hope this is okay to ask, but I know that you have, some of your own children, but did the experience of pregnancy, birth, and mothering affect your work at all as a channeler?
Oh, that is the best question ever. Yes. Yes, it was a huge catalyst. I feel like even when I was pregnant, and I don't know if some women even have had this, where they all of a sudden feel more psychic. Mm-hmm. I felt like I started seeing beings a lot more clearly when I was pregnant. And that's such a good question. And that's when I really started becoming more comfortable with the psychic ability and the intuitiveness, because I was a mother and it's needed, despite your ability to see spirit, you know, the empathic side of things.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that was a huge catalyst.
Yeah, I do hear that happens a lot. It did for me as well. And so that kind of leads into, you talked about being able to see spirit more. And I wanted to know, I'm just curious, how does the information that you receive from channel beings come to you? Is it like clear audience, or is it in other ways?
So it started out as visually seeing orbs and kind of getting information just by looking. Mm-hmm. A lot of it is empathic. I think it would be clairsentient. Is that
okay?
Right? And so they'll give me the emotion and behind certain things, and then I can interpret it into words. And then it evolved into hearing, so I can actually hear them speak a little bit more, and then I can interpret that into words, and it comes more quickly.
Okay. So it's sort of developing more clairaudience as well now.
Yeah, and it kind of just depends on the spirit too. If they are very good vocally, even in the physical life, if they were kind of maybe one of the public type speaker kind, mm-hmm. they usually use a lot of their vocal skills. If they were more of a quiet, sentimental kind, they have a lot of emotion that they'll share with me.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, and is it some of it actual visual through your third eye?
That actually was, I guess, more initial. And they'll use that a lot if they can't explain something that I would understand or that I couldn't understand with the feelings. They'll visually show it. It's kind of like a backup. And then I can explain what I see to the client, and then they can interpret it.
Okay. I see.
I feel like ET beings usually use the visuals a lot more because their language and emotions just don't connect.
Mm.
And so the visuals are easy for me to see and then interpret in my language, in the human language.
Okay. So do you feel like you channel kind of beings from other dimensions, other star systems? Is it kind of both? Is it different dimensions and different?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so a lot of it is past loved ones from the clients that just want to say hello or give a message, and they are in other dimensions depending on their vibrational frequency. But then also the council that I refer to, which is the higher dimensional plane of existence that basically have been organized to specifically help humanity in healing and things like that.
Mm, okay. Yeah, so that leads me to my next question. Just if you could talk a little bit more about how you work with clients. Is it, do they choose, well, I want you to talk, I want you to channel your guides, or will a client like set up an appointment with you and say, I actually want to speak to a loved one? Can you kind of work either way, or do you have a choice in the matter?
No, we can work either way. Usually they'll say, you know, I feel lost at this moment. I need some direction. And they'll set their heart's intent. And whatever soul comes through is the one that can deliver the perspective of the highest good. It was called the highest good. So sometimes it is the council. They act as guides in healing if they're like, you know, I can't get through some of these things that I feel stuck in. And then sometimes it's a grandmother that gives perspective. So it just depends on the client, but we can do both.
Mm-hmm. Great. Yeah. Yeah. I just want to remind people that this would be a good opportunity for, if anyone has any questions, to begin thinking about what they'd like to ask.
So we have one already.
Okay.
From Purple Fields. I'm curious about the distinction between male and female energies in channeling. Any thoughts?
Oh, yeah. What a great question. I actually thought about this today. I thought about, as a young girl, how it felt when my dad walked in the room or when my dad sat with me versus my mom. And it does feel different. It feels like this motherly sort of presence when a female comes through. And, you know, I usually can feel right off the bat if it's a mother or a grandmother. Sometimes if I can't get a grip on it, I can listen and they'll say it more clearly, but their feeling is actually quite strong, and it's a really great question. The male presence as well, it just has a very different feeling. It's just dissimilar as like if you were, you know, with your girlfriends versus a man, you can feel this different energy that they have. Well, just going based on that too, since we technically aren't male or female in spirit form, that's what they'll use also to connect so that that soul can recognize them.
Right. To make a distinction. That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I imagine some of the entities or off planet beings that you also encounter, or channel don't necessarily have a gender. Is that right?
I don't think so, but there are some that feel a lot more female dominant, and there are some that feel more male dominant. And their energy is just a different, and you can almost even feel that those that don't typically have had human lifetimes that are reside on other planets, most of their being feel very different than a human, and their gender is harder to gauge.
Right, sure. Okay. So, JP, I don't know if you have any specific questions, or I can start going into some questions either through the chat, and I also have some as well, Diet, for whenever you're ready to either, you know, bring in a guide or someone that you would like to bring in. JP, do you have any questions first? Okay.
Well, I suppose I always ask, you know, if there's any messages from my own guides that are bursting to get through to me that I've not been listening to, not been paying attention.
Okay.
Is anyone here for me?
There actually was a mail that came through when you asked that. Let's see if I can get the identification. I feel like he knew you in this life, and usually our guides don't show me that they've known you in this lifetime. They show me that they've known you in other lifetimes. Let's see. It's either a father or a grandfather showing me wearing a plaid shirt. Did you have a grandfather that passed?
Yeah, I think at least four. I don't connect him with plaid.
Let me see what he says about. So he's showing me something with lumberjack, being something out in the woods. Let's see if I can get a direction on either the father or the mother's side. I feel like he's saying, would it be your mother's father?
No, he didn't do the wood cutting. It would be the other side if it was.
The wood cutting would be on the father's side? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's see if what he says about the lumber, why he was showing me that. Saying something as part of the culture, part of the way of life. Wanted to come and say hello. Is he from, I feel like he wants to talk in an accent. Is he from like the country? Somewhere further away?
Well, he's not in the country that I live in, no.
Well, I mean, like, is he in countryside? Like, he's showing me, like, plains of, like, grass just far out, very simple life, kind of like a hardworking type life. that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Like, almost like a different.
Possibly. I don't know very much about that grandfather.
Okay, well, let me just see if he'll verbally tell me something that he wants to say. He says, hello, hello, thank you so much. Quite the identification, I suppose. I wanted to make sure that he understood everything about me, the hard work I put in, I suggest. He says, yes, quite swell. Quite swell it is, though. See what he says specifically about a message here. So he says, is your mom still alive?
No.
I'm assuming. She's not. Is this something about your mom? But you said it was the father's dad. What is he saying? Just give me one moment here. Sorry about that. He just says it's a wonderful life here. It's a wonderful life with your mom. I'm seeing if he can give me any message for you in your life, for the highest good, for anything for you to learn. It sounds like he just wanted to come through and say hello, but let me see if I can't get him to give me something.
All right. Hello.
He says, wonderful day, isn't it, lad? What a wonderful day, isn't it? He says, good day for some woodworking, isn't it? He's not giving any messages for a direction. He's just basically saying hello there.
Obviously there's nothing going on that I'm not aware of. So it's not like he's giving me, you know, World War III, prepare for your,
saying it's a wonderful day.
Yeah.
He
okay.
says, chin up.
Thank you very much. let's see if there's any more questions in the chat room. Have you got any, I was wondering also, that, Shailin, touched mm-hmm. very gently upon extraterrestrial contacts. And is this, what was the, all right. So with most people, their awakening is not pleasant. It's not a mm-hmm. thing that is like, oh, one day, unicorns and fairies just sprinkled down one day and I could see. No, it's usually, you know, you have a car crash or you drown or, you know, something takes you really close to the fourth dimension without actually getting there and then schlepping you back at the last minute. So what was yours?
I think it was my deep depression. I just was not happy. I was raised LDS, going to church still, thought it was the best way to raise my children, but I wasn't happy. And I thought that the only way out would be to kill myself to feel happy. And when I sort of had a plan within my mind about how this could happen, things really started to go into full speed. And I saw this orb that says, it's not your time yet. And that's when I said, well, then I need to heal. I need to heal and I need to be happy. And that's kind of when things transpired for me. And I think because maybe the other side knew that my plan was not a call to help. It would have definitely taken my life. So that was my escape plan. And I didn't know any other way. But going along with what you're saying, I do feel like there's so many things that we do and programmed or do to keep ourselves safe that it's not necessarily in our benefit to do that. We're just trying to feel secure and safe. And for spirit to kind of get us to evolve, they kind of sometimes will set a bomb in our life to open up because we're not going to do it on our own if we're stubborn enough or if our mind has programmed ourselves so heavily to keep our bodies and self safe. You know, out of state of fear. So that's another thing along that lines with in regards to people just all of a sudden having this big event happen. They can contract into that, but also if they've not addressed it within themselves, then there will be a big event to sort of just wake them out of it.
Yeah, I agree. I hear that over and over again. to other people that I talk to, and I'm sure JP, you hear it as well. Kind of the healer's journey, you know, their kind of awakening is usually, can be quite difficult for sure. So I don't see at this moment, I don't see any questions from the chat. But I do have a list if you don't mind. So yeah, if I think what, whoever or whatever, you feel is coming through right now, at this moment to speak would be great. And I have questions. One of them was, is there anyone coming through either for JP or myself? I guess we could start there. And I know you just spoke to JP a little bit. But whoever you feel is coming through that you wish to, translate for, that would be great. And then you could just let us know who it is. That would be great.
Okay. Yeah. JP might have to sit and think about that. But the lumberjack visual is still really strong with him. I don't know if it's something in the family background or what, but there's a grandpa. That grandpa is just really showing that visual still, even when I tap into his energy. But
well, for Canada,
is that the area that he lives in?
I think, maybe JP, don't you have some history in Canada?
My family is Canadian. My dad was born in Quebec, and his father, as I said, I don't know, with the worst accent in the world. And so it may be likely that it could be a grandfather on the other side. I never knew him, but there were two. There was a stepfather and a grandfather who I don't remember. I don't really even know their stories, so could well be, but good to see his find. Chop me in the wood.
Yeah, and
in the great forest in the sky.
In the great forest in the sky. Yep, still hanging out there. Well, I want to touch on that though, because I've had a couple people say that. They're like, well, I never knew my grandma. Why would she come through? And my husband's grandpa is constantly around him. And he's like, I never knew him. Why would he be around me? And the thing with these souls is they feel so connected to you because you had other lives with them. You could have been their children or things like that, where they feel that they know you, even though you may not know them. And so they often just want to show that they are there as someone that is going to be like an angelic presence to help you, even though you may not know them. So I think you could take that knowing that there is loving angels around you to help you, and they were part of your family here in the physical, and they'll probably be there to greet you as you pass over.
Mm.
But for you, Shalyn, I see there is a female. I feel like it is also a grandparent, grandmother. Are your grandmothers?
Yeah, alive? They've crossed over.
They've crossed over. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's see if she's the mother on the mother's or father's side. Okay, so I feel like she's from your dad's side. Were you guys close?
Not particularly close. We definitely had a relationship, but it wasn't, it wasn't that close.
She said that she spent, more time with you when you were younger. She seemed to have felt more closer with you when you were a younger girl. Mm-hmm. She does want to say something. Let's see. She says you're doing a great job with your own. Come so far from what you've seen, what you've known. It's truly a transformation, she says, and I'm really proud of that. Some things that she saw even within her own mother that she's wanted to change, and she's really done that and become so wonderful. So many things that she's done. She says, I'm very proud. She says, know that I'm with your little girl. I've chosen to help her and guide her, and I love you both very dearly. She says, I wish that I would have spent a little more time with her in adulthood, because I think that there were some things that she could have taught me. I think I could have opened up and received some of that information. And also she says to gain a bit of a relationship with her, in a stronger way. And, for that, she says, please know that I've thought of that and realize that I wish I would have made a little bit more of an effort perhaps on my end.
Mm-hmm. Great. Okay. Well, thanks her for. Yeah.
Is your father still alive?
My dad is. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. What? Sorry. One more thing she wants to say.
Oh, sure.
Is he in a good place? She's saying to care for him, look after
yeah.
him,
mm-hmm.
some care and.
Okay.
She says some changes are going on in his life as well that you might be able to support him in.
Okay.
He's doing yeah. well. Yeah.
I'll definitely check in with him. Thank you. So if you want to bring in someone that you work, like a channeled being that you work with, that would be great. I could ask you and that being some questions if that feels good for you.
Yeah. So what I usually do is I have probably about 5 guides that I work with, and depending on the question, they kind of all have their specialty. If it's like, certain healing or, relationships or different things like that. Mm-hmm. You know, similar to like Earth and how we would have our specialty. They have their own energetic specialties. So it does help to have like an intention of the question, and then I can
okay.
describe to it. Yeah.
Okay. We could do that then. We could start with a question. And before we do that, someone just wanted to know, if you have the ability to, perceive pets that have passed on.
Yeah.
Or no?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they have a consciousness as well. It's very simple. I mean, for me, it's very, thank you for taking care of me. Thank you for giving me a job. Thank you for giving me a role and a place. It's not very deep. Mm-hmm. That kind of thing. Maybe other channelers are able to channel deeper information with pets, but, that's pretty much where we go with their consciousness.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I guess the first question I have is, and this will be towards whoever you're bringing in. I wrote the question down as it being a collective of beings, but it doesn't have to be. But my question okay. is, how does your beingness influence people here on Earth?
How does your being
like how? Yeah, how does your consciousness, how do you influence people here on Earth? Is there any
okay.
influence that you have over people here on Earth?
Okay, that's a good question. Okay, so give me 1 sec to see who's going to come. Okay, so... this is actually interesting. The visual that I'm getting is a member on the council, but it's a lion being.
Okay.
Yeah, it's got the cat eyes, blondish, brown mane. But he's showing me that he's wearing the, I guess what I would refer to as like the suit that they wear to show that they're part of the council and for humanity.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see what he says about that. Says, interesting question indeed, my dear. He says, let me answer this question this way, as there are many possible routes that we could answer this. Do we have influence over humanity's consciousness? And he kind of waved his hand and he says, in a way, in a sense, how much do we want to become involved, or how much do we want you to evolve on your own? That is what we teeter with quite frequently. Can we influence thought to move forward in motion? Yes, perhaps, in many ways. Can we also pull back when we feel things have gone too strong? Yes. And we've had to in the past. But know that we often leave things to your abilities.
Hmm.
This can address part of the question also with individuals that allow their thought patterns to roam. Let me see. what he's saying. He says, with this, as a collective, it is more difficult to make an impact to influence the thought, but individuals can be more easily persuaded if they are in a position where they are either very aware or not aware at all. Take that into consideration.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, go ahead. You can ask.
Well, so the people that are not very aware at all, they may be influenced in a much different way than people are who are very open, I would assume. Is that right?
Yeah. So he nodded and he said, now you are onto something, my dear. And that is where the negative comes in. If you're not steadfast in the light intention, then your thoughts can be overwhelmed with negative entities.
Mm-hmm.
Potentially.
Do most people encounter that at some point in their lives? Sort of influence from something that is more negatively based?
He says yes, only because many go through stages where they are very asleep, and that is so that they can perhaps have an awakening experience and see both sides of the coin. They mm-hmm. often opt into coming into a human body to be asleep for a time, to experience this reality in this sense.
Okay.
And he says they are unaware, that their thoughts can lead them into certain directions. And so therefore their thoughts can be taken over.
Mm-hmm. And does that start to manifest as repetitive patterns of thoughts? You know, does it kind of build over time if someone is being more negatively influenced as opposed to some kind of dramatic one-shot deal? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Okay, let's see what it says. He says both can occur. It depends on the individual. If one cycles through over and over, such as dumping garbage in a large dumpster over and over, this is the cycle of manifestation. I will always have this, so I might as well continue to dump this. He says, you spoke of a one-time, possibly the similar programming can occur where you recycle through the trauma over and over and it becomes a part of you as it happened just yesterday.
Mm-hmm. How can people get out of that kind of programming? Does this being have any advice about
that? Yeah, that's good. He says we often find that the trauma with the one time, so to speak, is a bit easier as you can address that single problem and work through it on your day-to-day or as triggers arise. The programming that is a continual, perhaps from family cycles, or shall we say even karmic, even though we know that karmic has more to do with energies that are trying to be resolved within yourself, those take time because they have been embedded within you for quite some time, even through other lifetimes. Mm-hmm. So, let's see. I was just asking him how to get out specifically of the karmic cycles, because I know that that's kind of where everyone's at right now and trying to just get into higher vibrational beings.
Mm-hmm.
He says basically they're coming to a point where the soul has had enough and is willing to transform and surrender to all that is and become anew. It is a rebirthing of the soul, a part of surrendering and being willing to admit the vulnerability within yourself and others.
Mm-hmm. And so surrender is a big step.
Yeah. He says saying that perhaps most of this could also be taken from the perspective that it is of love. Instead of, mm-hmm. I hate this, it's harder to surrender and to evolve that way.
Sure. Yeah. Someone's asking, how do you inspire positive thoughts and choices? That's the first part of the question.
Okay. So he says you hold a high frequency within yourself. That is, you must reflect upon yourself and understand yourself in all different scenarios, for there will be triggers within the individual. That is, there will be points where their frequency could be shifted into low density. He says, if you are to inspire those of low density to rise up, you will need to know how yourself will be interacted with these frequencies and maintain the higher frequency. Sharing love, showing gratitude and consideration for these people, allowing them to feel love within your heart is the most appropriate and best way that we know as of now for your human race.
So could it be like some simple steps, very practical steps that people could take would be to maybe within themselves when they notice a negative thought pattern happening, they could take a pause first and then either try to bring in some kind of simple affirmation or take a pause and then take a breath. Would that be, do you think that that would be a helpful practice to kind of transmute these negative patterns?
I think it would be. Let me see what he suggests. This is basically a self-reflection of if you can become aware of how the body and how your emotional field is reacting. He says it's like the trigger. Why is it reacting this way? Why are you all of a sudden very ashamed of this person or withdrawing your love from them? What is it that is occurring within you? He says a self-reflection that you must understand. He's saying, he's showing me someone looking at themselves in the mirror. He's saying that you can basically talk to yourself and say, what is it that hurts you about this? Like, let's work through this together. And you're caring for yourself and understanding what yourself is trying to understand so that you can share more love to somebody else.
Okay. So what I got from that was, is sort of when you're looking in a mirror, you're first becoming the observer, but then you're creating a relationship within, with yourself that's a little bit different from the standpoint of the observer as opposed to the standpoint of the reactor. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah. He's saying you are looking at the reflection of yourself that has perhaps considered the interaction somewhat of trauma or something negative or something harmful to your being. That is why it's been withdrawn. You are made, you have been naturally programmed to love no matter what. But when the system feels threatened in any way, it will shut down. Why does it feel threatened? Everyone is different.
Sure. So I just was wondering if that being, I think he, but I don't know if there's a gender with this being. What is your perception of the children being born within the last decade or so? Do they have a specific role, if any?
This is a very good question indeed, my dear. You are onto something here, and we like the way you think. Sorry. He's very, yeah, he's very, very wise kind of guy. He feels male. Okay, sorry. Let me see what he says.
Oh, he feels male. Okay. Yeah, gotcha.
He feels male. That's in regards. And I speak low, I think, because I'm matching up to his energy
right.
that he's giving.
Right.
Okay. So he's saying you're onto something. We have had to create an influence among humanity, influxuating the beings coming in, changing things over. He made his hands like flip backward, like you're transitioning everything. And so, the newcomers are helping with that. Let me see if he can tell me specifically kind of what personality traits. He says in regards to personality traits, every zone, every region, every family will have something different. He says, depending on where their energies are in need. He says, for example, those in Germany will need to become more heartfelt, less stern.
Interesting. Does this, is this being able to perceive linear time or, is he sort of outside of that matrix?
He nodded when you said that and said, I can understand linear, most probably because I interact with humanity. He says, but my time is not linear. But he says, but basically for the time being, he has incorporated himself into linear time to interact more easily with the humans.
Does he himself work a lot with children or no?
He says no.
That is not my specialty. My specialty is to understand the collective, humanity as a whole, and also break it down to the individual and how they interact with the collective.
Okay. And does he have any special relation to you since you were able to channel him?
As we have spoken before, never in this way, which is true. I feel like I've seen him before in meditations and visuals, but I've never actually channeled him. He works actually in the meditation that I had. He was on a ship and he was working basically almost like a conductor of the ship and helping everyone, on the ship. I guess we just kind of have that into the contract of as far as channeling and understanding humanity together.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is he, do you have a sense of sort of his physical size? Is he quite, tall or is he not so tall, you know, in comparison to us?
Yeah, I don't feel like he's very big, but let me see if he were to ever manifest what size that would be.
Well, that was weird. Do you hear that?
Are you in a storm?
I'm in a storm.
Yeah.
Is
oh, yeah. Okay.
Very important
like, I don't
things.
Know if that's spirit or...
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
There's my old friend,
Odin.
Odin.
Yes, exactly.
I asked if he were to manifest in physical form, how tall would he be next to me? And he said I would be approximately 8 to 9 feet.
Okay. I mean, that seems, from what I've heard about some of the lion beings, they tend to be at least that tall. JP, I don't know if you have any familiarity or not.
Have you seen my avatar?
Oh, I have. I have, actually.
Does that tell you anything at all?
That's funny. Yes.
Maybe that's why he came through. Maybe he knew JP would like have a resonance with him.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Sure. That makes sense. I actually had when I did a regression with Mary Rodwell, I went through a myriad of different experience memories. And, one, maybe you could ask this being, one was with a being that may have been a lion being, but my younger sister and I were on this ship and this being was teaching us how to levitate. It was like a black triangle obsidian stone type object and a black sphere. And its face was phased out. Like I couldn't see its face. But it appeared like it might have been a lion being. I don't know if he has a sense of that or not.
So he's not tapping in specifically, but what he said was many of us here have the features of what you would call feline.
Okay.
Yeah. Lion, he says, you name me lion because of the mane that I carry. He says, but it's a little different. I feel like there are some different species that he's showing me that look like they could be part of the feline family, but they're not very different, but they're all different.
Mm-hmm.
But they all have the eyes and like this nose and this kind of like this fur, but they kind of have different varieties of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like cats. Mm-hmm.
Are
they Lyran by any chance? Or what is their, what do they call, what do they know what we call them? That's the best.
Yeah. Okay. Good question. Okay, so he knows what you're referring to. He says, yes, Lyrians, there are species of this. He says, I particularly am from Sirius, though. He says, my dear sir, many are also from Sirius. And he says, near Orion, we have spread out depending on our, he says, agendas, so to speak, or species. Some of us don't like one another. Some of us are not benevolent, but most are. He says quite tame and friendly to the human race and desire to help.
So when this type of being is assisting a human on Earth, how does that manifest? Like, what does it feel like for the person, or what's the focus of these beings in assisting people?
Okay, good. This is UFO transformations. You will feel that your world is being turned upside down. He's showing me the visual of someone getting in a shower, and it's all of a sudden gotten very cold, and they want to get out, but they have to take a shower to get cleaned. Mm-hmm. He's saying this is kind of the feeling, and it feels, he said everything feels rocked for a moment. Everything feels awful. He says this is how one steps out of the programming that has kept you in the cycles, to be uncomfortable, perhaps for a moment's being. Ways, he says, you are it's opposite. You're engulfed in pure sense of love. Perhaps someone has passed, and you feel an enormous amount of comfort, love, and appreciation. He says these things happen as well. And he says how funny it is in the extremities for you humans. It's either one or the other, depending on what you need.
Mm-hmm. Could see that. So one of the listeners has a question. It's kind of a tough question, but I'll put it out there to the being you're channeling. Does this being have a name, by the way, or some kind of name, some reference?
Raj, R-A-G.
R-A-G, okay. R-A-G means actually, king.
Oh, it does? Okay, so I was going to say R-A-J, but
okay.
Then I just said G. So I don't know what way it would be spelled, but it's Raj.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, Raj means king. And that's a very, you know, a lion being is a very kingly, that symbol, you know, the lion. But this question from the listener, I'm saying she, but I don't know if it's a she. My 37-year-old son crossed over 4 months ago after a hard life where nothing worked out. What purpose does this type of life serve? We don't know the details, but yeah.
Yes, a hard life. Okay, so he actually faded in the background, and there's actually another being that wants to comment on this. He's showing me he's also part of the council. He looks more like Pleiades, blonde hair. Just real quick, though, the way that I see the Pleiades, they look human, but in a lot of ways I know that they're not. They don't feel like that, and they have facial features that if you were standing next to one, you would know that they are not human, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see what he says about that. Okay, so he says a lifetime of healing, a lifetime of understanding. If you choose in your life, he says, and it's always a choice, my dear. It is always this individual's choice. It is always your choice. It is always everyone's choice. You are never forced to do or be anything. But if you do not face the dark parts of perhaps what it is that you need to heal from, to become happier, to feel more lighter, to feel more joy, to feel more love, things can transpire in your life very quickly. To the point where, like we spoke of prior, your thoughts can take you into darker places, and you can manifest things within your being, within your external reality or body, illnesses and diseases that will take you far away from this earth in this perspective. He says, I'm sorry for the death. I'm sorry for this. I'm sorry for the pain that you might have felt. Perhaps some understanding. Please know that we all have our own choices. The soul that has passed has made the choice. Saying that there wasn't much self-reflecting with the soul, and basically some things were manifested unconsciously.
Mm-hmm.
He says it was a big healing life. Much support was needed for the soul, much was not given, and the soul spiraled down. He says, I'm sorry for the loss. We are working very hard and diligently. Please know this. In creating a better world for you, where thought is very conscious thinking, and you no longer have an external reality based on your subconsciousness or the darker parts of yourself that need to be healed.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He says one thing more about this. He says this is a good lesson why we need to care for everyone. We cannot shun someone because it's their problem. He says he could have had help, but others chose not to help him. And he perhaps asked for it in unloving ways because it's all he knew.
Mm-hmm. I think that people forget, people here on earth forget how much power they actually do have to help others, and that it doesn't take much. So it's almost like, yeah, we lose that sense of confidence that it simply just needs to be loving acts that can make a difference. So someone else had a question. Let me see if I can bring it up. It was here in the chat. Let me see if I can find it. So someone was asking, does it happen that you channel a living person's higher being? I feel like you've done that before, Dia. You can channel someone's higher being or their soul collective.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually really enjoy that because I've done that actually a couple times for mothers that are like, what am I supposed to do with my child? And they can we can tap into the child's higher being, kind of why they're pushing their mom or what it is that they want, the higher perspective. And it actually is very helpful.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Okay. So I already asked this is a new being. Is the Palladian being still there?
As far as right now, yeah. Oh, go ahead.
Does he communicate, or does his collective, do they communicate telepathically? Are they more of a five-dimensional group of people, or are they three-dimensional?
Okay, so he says, no, we are not three-dimensional. We can manifest in your reality with certain technology. Your frequency has been low for quite some time to not able to physically see us. He says we are residing on fifth dimension right now. We can go to sixth, but we have come to fifth to help. There's another part of the question as far as, what was the first part of the question?
I don't remember. Out of my mind because I have other things. Yeah. Okay. If they're 3D or 5D, do they communicate telepathically or by other means?
Okay. Yeah. So he actually started saying that right when you asked the question. Okay. So what did he say? He says it is telepathic for this channeler. It's a remote type viewing. And we send basically frequency of information down through what you would call a channel and into the being's consciousness. Mm-hmm. It's basically a contract into sending out a signal when needed. And if the intention is good, we help.
Does his group of beings, do they have kind of slightly angular, kind of refined, pointy cheekbones, and their chins are kind of pointy and refined? Do you see that at all with their features?
Yeah, so their eyes are, I've been wanting to do an art piece with their eyes because they're astonishing. I can't even, it's like they're crystal. Like I can see through, into them. Mm. Like there's nothing that blocks it. And they're very broad. The males are very broad shoulders, but not so much where it's awkward. It's very beautiful. Mm-hmm. This one has his hair is short, but it has it swept over to the side in almost like a surfer way, I guess, if I could explain it.
Uh-huh. And
yeah, it's just, they're so beautiful. Like their face, their features are just so elegant. And yeah, their nose is a lot smaller and pointy. Their eyes, I would say, are even bigger and their bone structure is different.
does this being have like very pale skin, and you know, do they have like a variety of different skin tones within that group of beings, or is it all just like one type?
I've seen some that are almost white. This one is seems just fairly similar, maybe a little lighter than a human.
And then any beings with darker skin, or just all?
Yeah, okay. There are actually quite a few that look, what's that race? They're like dark, but then they have like blue or green eyes, or even yellow.
Okay.
It's like darker skin, yeah.
Yeah, there seems to be, like when a lot of people talk about beings from other dimensions or other planets, it seems to be I don't know what the right word is, just a lot of people talk about white skin or even Caucasian type skin, but I don't hear a lot of other talks of other types of skin tones. So I was just curious kind of what you perceived there.
Yeah, there was one time in a meditation, I channeled a woman that I guess it would be an aboriginal, like an aborigine type. Mm-hmm. She was very tribal, but her eyes were like almost like a golden green. Mm-hmm. And her skin was fairly dark, but she didn't look totally human.
Right. So does this group of beings, the Palladians, do they have the ability to actually bring someone's consciousness from 3D up into their ship? If they have a ship, I don't even know if they have one.
Yeah. He's starting his own ship right now. Okay, so he's actually stepped back, and the lion, Raj, is actually going to comment on that.
Okay.
He says, yes, it's possible. Quite frequently we do this, more often in the dream state, as it is easy to embed memories within the consciousness when the being, the physical, is asleep, and we can integrate it more easily.
Right. Yeah, there's less resistance, I guess.
Yeah.
Would it ever cause, like on a physiological level for that person, any kind of brief, what's the right word? Not illness, but just kind of a little bit of a brief discordance with that person, or no?
If their body was actually taken?
Well, we could say, yeah, either if their body was actually taken or even if they went up etherically.
Okay, so that's fine. He's showing me a lot of visuals where if the body was taken, I don't think that he's totally resonating with the body actually survived. I don't understand the visual completely. It doesn't look like it happens very often. Let's see if what it says about etherically. He says, yes, it alters moods and diet, first and foremost. You feel very tired. You feel very sluggish.
Mm-hmm.
Because your body is transmuting the old and incorporating the energies within yourself. It doesn't necessarily like coming back into the physicalness and as it tries to repel that which is the low frequencies.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, and also integrate them into your daily life where some of those lower frequencies are needed.
Right. Okay. So it looks like we have about, JP can tell us, but maybe about 5 minutes or so left.
Thank you. Been very interesting.
Yeah, I wanted just to, if it's okay with you, if Diet could just, if she wanted to share any information about how to contact her for
her
work.
It's the website and contact page, Jamboree. On you go.
All right. Okay, so you can go on my website, reincarnatedmormon.com, and also my Gmail is reincarnatedmormon@gmail.com to schedule an appointment or if you have any questions and things like that.
That's great. And her YouTube channel is helpful too because she does some channeled recordings, so you can kind of get a sense, more of a sense of her work as well.
Yeah, so that's Channeling the Galactic Council.
I think if you Google your name too, that helps
too.
Okay, because I was like, I hope that's right, because I feel like I might have said that wrong. Yeah, I think if you put my name in, you could find it.
Great. So can you spell out your name so people can find it?
Yeah, so my website, it's D-E-E-T-E. I don't know if it's linked to a different name on my YouTube.
Okay.
Because I kind of changed the spelling on it. But if it is, you could try D-E capital E-T-T-E. That was the name I was given with my birth name, and then I changed it coming into the spiritual work.
Okay. And then if anyone wants to contact me, my website is shelynt.com. That's C-H-E-L-Y-N-N-T, as in Tom, .com. Or you can Google Little Lotus Ayurveda. And maybe I can put it into the chat. And I don't know if Diet, if you're able to do that as well, but that might help people too.
Put in my website to the chat?
Yeah. If you can.
Yeah, I'll try that.
Or maybe JP can do it if you put it in in the Skype.
So, for my show, Ever Beyond, I've got a thing in TalkStream Live. I'm in the 13th row, three across. So whatever that 13 times 4 plus 3 is, that's how low I am or how high I am in there. Actually, it's not bad because there's a whole bunch more people who aren't as high as me either in their little listing. So, but that's also the one that, where I've fixed the call in. So if you want to listen, see if you can tune in to 712-432-9588. The number's on the webpage. And also, you know, hashtag me on TalkStream Live. Let's play with these things. Let's see if we can get some more people into Wall Street Radio. So, Shelynt Tetreault, and I love saying your name, and Diet, merci very much. There we go. Thank you very much, and we'll see you next week. And stand by for the healing, the World Healers Group. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Beyond.